We're starting a new series on relationships, sex, all that fun stuff, issues, sexuality, and mainly who God designed you to be. In the next 5 weeks, this is what I want you to walk away from this whole series with, is that you would start to naturally begin to ask this question. No. Stop it! This happened last time! You can ask that question, but this is a more important question. Does this honor God? Okay? That's the question. In regards to relationships and all the things surrounding that, the question we need to start training ourselves to ask, does this honor God? And see, what happens is, when we ask that question first, tons of other questions are answered. And so that's my goal for this whole series, is for us to start thinking about our sexuality, who we are, who God designed us to be, starting with these kinds of questions. Does this honor God? So for instance, in a dating relationship, when you're trying to determine boundaries and all that kind of fun stuff, the first question isn't how far should we go or what should we do. The first question always, always, always needs to be, what honors God? What? What? What did he say? Okay. So let's pretend that didn't happen. Is that what we're doing? Okay. Let's just sweep that under the rug. There we go. All right, Jordan, you're not allowed to talk anymore. The question is, does this honor God?
Yeah.
Yeah, if it does, then for sure. If it doesn't, then no. So you guys see kind of my strategy here is that when we start with that question, it eliminates a bunch of the other questions. Now, there still might be some, well, you know, what does honor God? Yeah, well, that too. So, but then that's actually an opportunity for you to talk about things and explore, which is actually good for your relationship. So, explore is the wrong word. I just realized that. Explore the questions. Oh, that's terrible. So if you're anything like me, when I was a teenager, I had a lot of questions about sex and sexuality and about the Bible and what God thinks and about what our culture thinks. I had tons and tons of questions, and I had nobody to ask them. So this is the crazy thing. There used to be, okay, when I was a kid, so I'm thinking about grade 8. We had computers. But they were like crazy computers. There's no color in these computers. They're just like blank screen. And we had this computer that looked like a square TV box. And it wasn't a green screen. It was different. It had like blue, like not blue, but kind of white blue writing. And we had this game. And it was this game. It was called a psychology game. Some kind of psychology game where you would ask questions and the computer would act like a psychologist and basically ask you the question back in different forms. Get this, I wanted to know so bad, I thought, well, maybe the computer knows. And I started typing in all these questions I had about relationships, about girls, about sex, because I had no clue what was going on. And it was funny because I remember my dad walking into the room and me going like, uh-oh, and pressing return to kind of get past these questions and into different questions. I don't know if he ever saw it, but I was just like, no, I panicked. Like, I don't want him to see, because I was so embarrassed about it. And so that's kind of the background coming into another reason why I wanted to design a series about relationships so that it's one of the ones, the stuff that we're going through is the stuff I wish I'd have known or I wish somebody had told me when I was your age. So that's the other reason why I designed this whole series. And so I'm really excited about it because I think this is one of the big questions that we often have. And the older you get, so, you know, if you're in grade 7, your interest level is, you're interested, right? This is interesting. But it's about right here. When you're in grade 12, your interest level has gone up a lot more because your maturity should be more. Not everybody. Oh, sorry. Was I pointing? Right, we start to mature at different levels. There's different changes in your body, in your mind, in, you know, everything physical and hormonal and all the crazy stuff that happens in our bodies and in our minds, and that stuff is all happening. And when you're in grade 12, a lot of that has settled down a little bit, and what it's replaced is some I would say God-given desires, that a desire for family, a desire for husband. I would say a desire for a wife, but boys are a little bit different in high school. They don't necessarily desire a wife yet. They're desiring other things. We'll get to that later. They're not thinking the same way girls are thinking. Let's put it that way. But there's some things that God's putting in your heart that are from Him. And often they're really difficult for us because our bodies aren't always on the same page as the things that God's saying in the Bible, and we struggle with it. And we're going like, well, my body is like, and my mind are like pulling me this way, and God's saying this, so what do I do? So then if I follow my body and I follow the stuff in my mind, then I feel guilty and I feel ashamed, and then I feel like God's mad at me, and then I try to come back to God, and then I just go back. So it's just this big, crazy cycle that happens. And so what I want to do, again, not just today, but over the next month or so that we're doing these talks, is to kind of help you get out of that cycle a little bit and to see what sexuality is and to understand it, if we can. Now, this is hard. If we can understand it from God's perspective. So I don't want it to be my perspective. Okay, I really want us to get into the Bible and look into what God says about sexuality, because it doesn't matter about my opinion, okay? Except for my own daughter. Just kidding. Then it matters, though. Even then, it's what God says. It's what God thinks, and it's God's design that matters the most. And here's the thing, you guys. God is loving and kind and just, and He just loves you so much. And I think that God's excited that we're actually doing this. Does that sound weird? He's excited that we're talking about these things. Yeah, so let's get at it. Let's get talking about them, right? Okay, so here's how we started this. The last time we did this series, we did a whole new beginning. And I thought, you know what, this is kind of a good way to start things. So three things, and I know what you're going to say. I don't want you to say it, but I can't stop you. So the first one is the big question. No, it's not. That's not the big question. The bigger question. Do you really want to know what God says? Okay, that's the big question. Do you really want to know what God says? Okay, and specifically for what we're talking about sexuality and the issues surrounding it. So that's the first thing. So there's a story in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet. He lived about 700 years before Jesus was born, so at about 700 BC, approximately. And he wrote some stuff, and he was a preacher, and the people hated him, and half the time wanted to kill him. Okay, and I think it's not in the Bible, but I think the Jewish history would say he got his death. They sawed him in two. Okay. True dat. Holy man, this guy's on fire. There you go. Actually, no, you totally flamed out last time. Now you knocked that one out. Okay, so this is anyway, Isaiah is preaching to these people, and this is crazy. This is what they say. So this is God writing or telling Isaiah what to do. So this is Isaiah 30. Go now, write it on a tablet for them, inscribe it on a scroll, that the days to come. That for the days to come it may be an everlasting witness. So he says, write it down so that there's no excuse that it's there. They'll be able to, they know it's there. For these are rebellious people, deceitful children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction. So he's talking to children, he's talking about adults at this point, not like little kids. He's talking about adults, and God calls us his children, adults. You got it. They say to the seers, so these are people who see things, a seer, right? A vision. So they say, see no more visions. And to the prophets, do not prophesy to us what is right. And what do they want? They say, tell us pleasant things. Prophesy illusions. Leave this way, get off this path, and stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. Now, if you're confused, that's okay. I'm just going to explain this really quick. What they're asking for is like, don't preach hard stuff to us. Don't preach stuff that confronts us with the way we want to live our lives. Okay? Don't do that. Preach to us the stuff that we like to hear. That's what they're saying to Isaiah. Okay? And God's like, no, 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 no. In fact, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get you to write this down. So the book of Isaiah in the Bible was written down for this reason. Is because the people didn't want to hear from God. So that's why I say this is the bigger question. Huh? Do you really want to hear from God? This is the heart question. This is what's in here, okay? If you don't want to hear from God, then it's something in your heart that's going on. Now, just to qualify this, if you're like, well, I don't really know if I want to hear from God, that's totally fine. It's okay. You can make that decision after you hear what we've read and hear what God thinks, and then make your choice. I'm just saying, have an open mind. Okay, so that's the question surrounding this whole series. Secondly, you need to have a vital perspective. And this is answering the question, what does God want for us? What does God want for you? This is what Jesus said in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. That's what Jesus said. Okay, so we need to have this perspective. So we need to have this question going like, okay, do I really believe what God says? Do I want to hear what he says? Okay, well, sorry, those are two different questions. Do I want to hear what he says is first? Okay. The vital perspective was, what does God want for us? He wants full life for you. It's important that when we're listening to how God has designed relationships, that we have in mind this vital perspective that he wants us to really live. He wants us to live life to the full. Okay? And finally, an essential understanding. And the essential understanding is the question to, why am I here? Okay? Not in this building. But I guess in this building too. But why do you exist here, kind of thing? Okay? And so here it is. This is the answer to this big question. Why do you exist? It's to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Cool, right? Forever. That means it never ends. You guys realize 10,000 years from now, this will still be true? You'll still be enjoying God, and because your body will be dead, but you will be with God in heaven. Cool, hey? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. So these are the three things. Now, you probably won't remember those. That's okay. We'll introduce them before every talk. Okay. So let's get into this stuff. You can put your finger in Genesis chapter 1. We're starting on page 1. Oh, it's not page 1. Sorry, it's page 3. But it's the first page of the Bible. But it says number 3 on yours. All right, so it's Genesis, the book of Genesis. You put your finger in there, and we're going to get there in a minute. All right, so here's where we want to go with this. I really struggled with this whole concept of sex for a couple of reasons. I already explained one. The other one was that the church never talked about it. The church never talked about sex. My youth pastor never talked about it. And if anybody did, they said, don't do it. Oh, I don't want to talk about it. Just don't do it. Okay? You're like, what? I don't even know what it is. How am I supposed to do it? So, confusion. Okay? That's what added to my confusion. That's why I'm sitting in front of a computer screen with this, like, super primitive software. And I'm typing these questions in, and the program is just recycling the questions and asking them back to me. Okay? So I'm just even more confused. I'm like, what? Okay? So here are some questions that really bothered me as a kid that nobody wanted to answer. Why does God want us to wait until marriage to have sex? If this is such an incredible thing that God gave us, and I have all these passions in my heart and in my body and in my mind, then God says, no, don't. Like, that just seems silly that he would give us all of these passions and desires and then say, don't. Right? You guys with me on that? You ever thought of that question? I thought about it all the time. Okay, so here's the next one, right on its heels. Okay, so he said marriage, one man, one woman. So how does that work? Why did God make it so hard to wait? Right? So why is he putting these desires in me before I get married? That doesn't seem very fair. And if I'm not supposed to have sex until I'm married, why does my body say yes all the time? Okay? That's just a straightforward question. It's saying yes a lot, especially when you're going through the changes into puberty. It's like, wow, what is going on with my body? Yeah. So, okay. So, no, now, I'm not assuming that you're all asking those questions, okay? So, don't go like, no, that's not me. This guy's way off. No, those are my questions. I know some of you guys have those questions. If you don't, it's okay. I know you have other questions. And hopefully, we'll be able to answer some of those questions. At the end of this whole series, we're going to do a text in your question night. Okay? So we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about all this stuff and you can ask any question you want. Sound good? So do you guys have questions about this stuff? Yeah. Yeah, you do, right? I know you do. Don't have to be embarrassed about having questions. I still have questions. And I've been married for like 15 years. Okay, so here's how I want to outline it. We're gonna get into Genesis, and I want to give you guys a way to think about this. This is what we believe about sex. Now, I'm using words that you could say are my opinion, okay? This is not a Bible verse that I'm taking and going like, this the Bible says, okay? We're going to get to that. Sorry, that was lame. Okay, here's the three views of sexuality in our culture. Number one is that sex is dirty, okay? So we have the porn industry, we have lots and heaps of shame put on people for things like adultery and homosexuality and all of these other things going on. And so we often will have this concept of it's dirty. And unfortunately, this has been the view that many churches hold, is that it's dirty and it's bad and don't do it. Okay? That's one of the things that has been prevalent in the church, and I hate that it has, because that's, again, that's any kind of talk about sex that we had when I was a kid, all centered around that. It's bad, don't do it. And so there was really no, okay, so why? Like, what is behind this whole thing? And so we got this sense that sex is dirty. It's dirty. I want you guys to understand, nowhere, not once, not one single time in the Bible does it ever mention that sex is dirty. Do you guys realize that? Not once. Okay, now, there are some things in the Bible that talk about how we have, or humans, have used sex outside of God's design, and it is perverted, changed, okay? So we've changed what God designed it for. So that anything that is outside of God's design is perverted. So I know that word is a terrible word because we use it in a different way in our culture. So, oh, you're perverted, right? So because you have certain desires or whatever. And that's not actually how that word is supposed to be used, but we do. So sorry, our culture has ruined our word. But there's this misconception of both our culture and the church. So there's this song out on the radio that talks about doing dirty things. What a song is that? I forgot to write it down. No, sorry, I know. Sorry, I'm thinking specifically. Talk dirty. Is that no? Okay, but you guys. Okay, I don't even have to explain it because all you guys are like have a different song. Okay, it's everywhere. So our culture pushes this whole idea of sexuality as being dirty. Okay, it's not just the church. Our culture does doing dirty things. Or, there's tons and tons of songs that talk about that kind of stuff. So even our culture pushes this idea of dirty. So like there's like pornography talking about dirty girls or all these kind of things. Like it's just, it actually is in our culture. Now people may blame the church for that. And that's fine because, yeah, the church is partly at fault because we haven't talked about it. We have given it that kind of label dirty, which it's not. But our culture actually is just as bad. It's not just because of the church. They're doing it too. They're pushing this idea of dirtiness. And so that is not God's view of sex, you guys.
God does not view sex as dirty. Like, it's not something that's dirty. It's okay, so that's one thing. So we'll say what it is in a minute. Okay, the other thing that it is not God. So this is one of the things that our culture pushes really hard. Sex is one of the main gods of our time. Do you guys realize that there's more money spent on pornography than all the major sports combined? Basketball, baseball, hockey, football, that's big money. All of them combined doesn't even hold a candle to what the porn industry makes in a year. And it's like going like this. It's rising like crazy. Almost every ad you see on TV has sex in it, right? In some form, maybe even just some innuendo. Innuendo means it's not like out front, like overt. You guys don't know what overt means either. Implied, yeah. It's just like it's like underneath. They don't say it right out, but it's just like underneath. It's implied. Everyone giggles. But you look at ads on TV, constantly pushes this. Why is that? It's because our culture worships sex. So if you follow any of the celebrities, like it's celebrated, right? Their sexuality outside of God's design, not just sex in general, but outside of God's design specifically, is celebrated. Because it's one of the main gods of our culture. People actually worship it. That's what they live their lives for. It is depressing. It is. It really is. But people have given their whole lives for it. I mean, that's how the sex industry survives. That's why this human trafficking is actually one of the biggest businesses in the world. Because the whole sex side of it, it sells, right? Because sex has become a god. And unfortunately, it's a horrible, horrible god that makes people do terrible, terrible things to one another. So if it's not these things, what is it? Here's what it is. It's a gift. Somebody has been in this, has heard this talk, or somewhat of this talk before. It's a gift, okay? So it's not dirty. It's not a god. It's a gift, okay? It is God's gift to us. Because here's the thing. God did not have to create sex. Do you realize that? Think about it. He did not have to create it. He could have said, be fruitful and multiply like the amoeba, right? He totally could have done that. That's right. He totally could have said, I'm deciding that there's not going to be male or female. There's no sexuality at all. You guys are just going to be blobs of human flesh that just multiply whenever you want. He could have done that, but he didn't. He specifically designed sex for us, okay? So here we go. In your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 1. Let's get at it. One more thing. You know what? I'm going to explain that after. Okay, let's go. So chapter 1, starting in verse 24. So God is creating, he's creating the earth, he's creating all the animals, he's creating the plants and the birds and all that kind of stuff. And then this is where he goes to. He says, then God said, let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing an offspring of the same kind. That's why cows give birth to calves or cows. That's why horses give birth to horses. Okay, colts that are horses. That's why humans give birth to humans. Yeah, you guys are getting it. It's easy. That's why. That's because God said it. And this is what happened. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock and small animals, each able to produce offspring of the same kind. And when God saw that it was? Yeah, it was good. Then God said, let us make human beings. Ooh. And how are we going to make them? In our image. To be like us. Whoa, that is so cool. That is awesome. They will reign. Okay, get this. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So, guys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, we have all been created in God's image. Isn't that awesome? Isn't this cool? Really important for us to understand when it comes to sexuality, that we have been created in God's image. And you know why that is? Because the fact that you've been created in God's image is what gives you the most value. Did you notice where human beings are in creation? We were formed last, and we were formed to rule over all the other creation because we were created in the image of God. That's why human beings are worth more than frogs, okay? That's why human beings are worth more than mosquitoes, okay? It's because God created us in his image, okay? That's why when it comes, guys, if you guys have friends who argue about animals having, you know, as far as the sex stuff goes, where animals are mating or whatever, and they just, you know, they don't get married. Okay, that argument only goes if God didn't create us in his image. Okay, that's why this is so important. We're created in God's image. That's what gives us value. If we don't have any value, well then, yeah, then sex doesn't matter. But if we do have value, then it really matters because we're valuable. And so your sexuality is something sacred that God's given you. And so if you have value and God's given you something sacred, then it needs to be cherished and it needs to be cared for. Okay? Are you following me? That's why it's so important. You get it? Yes? Yeah. Yes. All right, let's keep going. Then God blessed them. Sweet. He blessed humans. And said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Okay, so here's one of the things I want to highlight right here. God said, what did he say? Fill the earth. How are they going to do that?
Water.
Okay, God would later fill the earth with water, yes, but not at this point. How are they going to fill the earth? Having babies, right? Hello? Hello, is anybody here? Are you guys having babies, right? That's how you fill the earth. Now, can you imagine how daunting that would be? There's only two people going like, what? How fast do we have to fill the earth? This is gonna be hard, right? Okay, I'm saying this because for some of you guys, you may have gone to school or may have had some teaching from a church or something that said that sex was one of the reasons why humans fell. It's not true. God created sex before the fall, told Adam and Eve to go have sex so they could multiply. That's what he did. So this is not what happened, okay? God created men and women and said, oh, yes, they're created in my image. They're beautiful, right? They're awesome. Now, he may have said that part. Right? And then God decided, you know what? I need to go for a walk. So I just enjoy this creation that I've built. And so God go for a walk. And then he's like, well, you guys, just do something fun. And then goes for a walk and comes back and goes, what are you doing? Who told you to do that? Like, that's not what God did, right? So when it comes to sexuality, that's not what God did. You guys are totally on there. They were like, he did? No, that's not what he did. He wasn't surprised by Adam and Eve and their ability to have sex. God designed it in them. He gave it to them as a gift. Okay? God could have made sex boring. He could have made it so that it was reviling. He could have made it like so that you just like snapped your fingers and had a baby. He could have done anything he wanted. But he chose sex. Guys, he chose sex in the relationship with a man and a woman as a way to bless the human race. Okay? That he was going to give us this incredible gift that we could use with our husband or wife. That's what he gave it to us for. Okay. Let's keep going here. So God wasn't surprised. It wasn't that Adam and Eve had sex and that's why they got thrown out of the garden. I've heard that before. I've had students actually, in fact, the reason we have that in our talk now is because students have actually come up and actually had that view. And I'm like, what? Where did you get that? That's not in the Bible. It's the opposite. Then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit in the trees for food. And I have given you every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life. And that is what happened. And God looked over at all he had made and saw that it was
very good.
Very good. Very good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the sixth day. All right. Okay, let's skip ahead a little bit. Let's see what happens in this story. Verse 8 of chapter 2. Then God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had made. The Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and that produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All right, let's move down to verse 15. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend over and watch it. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you will surely die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. What did he say? And if you know of any men, you know that that's true, right? Man, it's not good for them to be alone. They do silly stuff, right? They need women. So just before we continue, what you'll find is this is another, hey guys, listen, there's two creation accounts, chapter 1 and chapter 2, okay? We have two accounts here. They're taking the story from a different angle, okay? So he's retelling us the story from another perspective. Okay, so he placed it in, so this is, he's giving us more details. So it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. So God's going to create a woman that is perfect for him. So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals, sorry. So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for every... Okay, so that's a smart dude. Can you imagine naming every animal on the earth? I'd be like, all right, horse. I don't know. I'm stumped, right? Zebra. I don't know. Can you imagine coming up with that many names? I could barely name my kids. All right. This is a smart dude. All right, so he gave them each a name. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But still, there was no helper just right for him. What? Okay, get this, guys, if you read into this a little bit. He's looking for a helper in the animals? Craziness. Okay, so what happens? What's God going to do? So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib. What? And brought her to the man. He had one rib. Ribs. That's why men love ribs so much, right? At last! That's awesome! Look what the man said. At last, he exclaimed. He's like, yeah, because that cow is ugly, man. This woman is awesome. This is, okay, and just listen to what he says. This is bone from my bone, flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. This guy is one happy dude. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother to be joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now the man and his wife were both naked, get this, guys, and felt no shame. Well, it wasn't that anybody else was watching. It was that there was no shame. The earth, you guys, just think about this. Before sin came into the world, there was no shame at all. This is not just them being naked physically. They're being naked in every way. They knew each other to the depth of their souls. There was no secrets. There was no shame. That is awesome. That's amazing. And that's how God designed our relationships to be. Unfortunately, the next chapter is called the fall of man or humans. He definitely tripped bad. So All of this, so this talk is meant just to start this series, you guys. It's just the beginning. We're going to get into the details and try to answer some of these questions in the next talks. But this is what I want you guys to take away from this talk, is that God designed you specifically. He designed you, he gave you purpose, and he loves you and cares about you and is passionate about who you are. And he wants what's best for you. He wants you to live the full life that Jesus has promised us. And what we read from this text is that God very carefully created us. Very carefully. Isn't that awesome? He created us, he formed us very carefully. And even right down to the woman, he waited a little bit till the man was like, whoa, at last, right? That he made it. Yeah, finally. This is awesome, right? He's got it, like, can you imagine, guys, just for a second, can you imagine the first time he saw her? It's like, at last, right? There's, you can't put silence in the Bible. That's what I'm thinking is there first. All right. It's a woman. That's perfect for me. Okay. So, you guys, the heart behind this is God created you specifically. He created us to be in relationship with one another. That God is very specific. Okay, now, we're going to go to our small groups right away because we're already over time. This is actually two talks that I've combined together for one. And so, this is where we need to end. So, God created us to be in relationship with one another, but when sin, the next chapter, chapter 3, when sin entered the world, it perverted all the stuff that God wanted. Okay, so perverted, again, deviate from the course. So, let's say you're driving down the road and you go off the road, that's a terrible illustration. That's diverted. You die. Let's get rid of that one. We don't have time for an illustration right now. The point is, the next chapter, the fall comes, man and women sin, and sin enters the world and totally destroys what God has built. And the man and the woman, Adam and Eve, were kicked out of the garden because of sin, and death began. Sin and death began to reign in the world. So you look around the world today and the terrible state it's in, it's because of sin. Sin has done a horrible, horrible thing to the world. And it's changed the way we feel. It's changed lots of things about us. We struggle with things we think we shouldn't struggle with. We may even be embarrassed about struggling with them. It's because sin has entered the world and destroyed this perfect design that God has. But just because sin entered the world and did a number on God's design doesn't mean that the design doesn't exist and doesn't mean that we can still, or that we've missed out on something awesome. And that's where we're going to go for next week and the weeks after. That God has given us something really cool when it comes to relationships with the opposite sex. All right? So that's where we're going to go. That's where we're going to end. And I just want to pray for you guys before you go to your small groups. Heavenly Father, thank you for these students. Thank you for tonight. This is something that's heavy on my heart, and I think is so important for us to understand. Father, we want to hear from you. We don't want to be like the people in Isaiah that are like, no, don't tell us what God really thinks. We don't want that. Lord, we want to believe that what you have for us is best and that you actually do want us to have a full life. And Lord, we want to have that essential understanding that that we're here in order to glorify you and enjoy you forever. And that's our purpose. And so, Father, I pray over the next few weeks that you would communicate to us and show us the value that we have as people, as well as this incredible gift called sex that you've given us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.